Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, and I am fired up to announce that rejoining me after way too long, a longtime Golden State fan with ties to Warriors World and the Light Years podcast, a former member of Uninterrupted, the current host of the Wrestling Pod and the podcast manager at The Ringer, and a guy who I've been desperately trying to take to a Giants game for months now, Mr. Ben Cruz. What's going on, Ben?
Bram, what's up, man? I'm glad you brought up the Giants thing because we have been talking about this on the side, and it came to a head last week because my cousin and his wife actually went to the game on a Friday, and for whatever reason, it struck me. I was like, I got to hit up Bram because you guys are going, and so, side note, they went because she is nominated for Teacher of the Year for NBC Sports Bay Area. So it was like a free thing. They went to the Yankees game. The Yankees whooped their ass. So it was fun. It might have been better that we didn't go. I'm letting you know in front of you and everybody else. I am aware that this offer stands, and I will take you up on it this summer. It's a promise.
I appreciate you saying. I mean, at this point, it's just getting awkward for me. Ben. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I can't keep reaching out. Like, oh, let me take you to a game.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I decided to opt for the very passive aggressive move of just throwing it into your intro and
no, sure
lands. Yeah,
I actually enjoyed it better because it was like I've been thinking about it for like weeks, and I was like, he might bring it up on the show. Be ready. Nice. And that's on you. And I was like, that's on me. Yeah. That's on me.
And you gave me your facial expression screamed, you're not surprising me with this, you bastard. I was ready to discuss exactly this, Ben. I didn't bring you on just to give you subtle crap about attending a baseball game.
Sure.
We were right at the outset of the finals here, man. How you doing? You excited for it? Fired up? How does this podcast find you?
You know, it's we've had a couple of days off since the conference finals ended, which was honestly, I think it was much needed. I was really swimming in it in terms of the playoffs, because once the playoffs get going, they feel never ending, right? Yeah. Because even when you kind of have the June, whatever, mid-June marker as, oh, this is when the finals are over, guess what? The week after that, the draft. The week after that, free agency. The week after that, summer league. And then in this year, the Olympics, right? So it was nice to have this unexpected, I guess you could say, mini break where I was able to recalibrate and just really kind of look at this series from and just examine it a little bit deeper, which has been good. Because again, as you're going from series to series, you know, from the first round to whatever, we're, you know, the second round, the third round, you're very much, it's quick, right? Yep. But it's so much and it's a lot to take in. This was cool to kind of have that break and really look into, you know, Luka Doncic. I did one of these today where I was like, Luka Doncic is 24? You know, it's like, he feels like he's been in the league since he was 19. He literally has been in the league since he was a teenager, but you're like, he's only 24?
Oh, no,
what was I doing when I was 24? You know, you do like this type of mental math, but it's been great. I think as a Ringer employee, I might have signed something in my contract that I have to hope the Celtics win if your team is not involved. I don't apparently that I think there's a Ringer fan at the, or there's a Celtics fan at the Ringer. I'm not quite sure.
Too many follow-up questions. All right. So I'll start here. Life's routine. And so I completely agree with you. Having a little bit of a break was good, but also it was weird. I've gotten so used to coming home and having NBA basketball on immediately, that there's been like a withdrawal kind of for me over these last few days, even though I needed it. Although I'll give the NBA some credit because they slowly give you cold turkey. You know, like when the playoffs first start, it's like March Madness. I mean, you've got like 1,000 games on every day, and they've taken a little bit away as we've gone forward. But the follow-up question, I care about way more. So if I was at the Ringer, I would kiss Bill's ass openly, and I'd make it seem like I've always been a Celtics fan, even though obviously I've always hated the Celtics. But secretly, because he liked them so much, I would also be rooting against them. I could never tell him that. I could never like go public with it, but there would be like a little tinge of resentment of like, no, I don't really care about Boston, and I hate that I feel like I have to. You don't have to agree with me. You know, who knows who will ultimately listen, but that's my approach.
I'll tell you this. So my first year here at the Ringer was 2022. February 2022 was my first month, first day. And guess what the finals are that year? Warriors Celtics, right? And when they go down 2-1, I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, you know, it's not looking good. You go to a dark place. I went to a dark place.
I was before. In a very dark, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Especially game one, I was at game one and game two. Game one, I didn't know what I was seeing. Anyway, we get to game three and they lose, and you know, I'm doing the loser thing where I'm like, you know what? If the Warriors lose, sure. Will I be heartbroken? Absolutely. Will I not want to go outside for several weeks at a time? Yes. But from a job standpoint, certain people at the Ringer will be happy, right? And then they win. Then the Warriors win. They come back. They win the next three. And I was really at this crossroads where I didn't know how celebratory to be, because I was like, whoa, it probably felt the sweetest of the four, honestly, right? Aside from 15, when it was just
Never happened.
Pure jubilation, right? Yeah. 40 year, whatever. This was just like, oh, this is just kind of shut a lot of people up. And it felt so damn good. But I had to not go full bore with brashness.
Yeah.
I still want a job. You know what I mean? Where it was like, yeah, that was a dismantling. You guys absolutely crumbled. The Warriors won this shit on your home court. And Jordan Poole was a massive part of this.
He was pointing at his fucking ring.
He was like pointing at his ring in like the second quarter. What was that? It was maybe the third quarter. It wasn't even, anyway. So I say all that to say, I think this is I owe it to everyone who works at the Ringer who is a Celtics fan. To provide certain energies where you're hoping for the best.
That's completely fair.
Yeah, from career standpoint, could be good too.
I mean, since it is in fact a finals podcast, I'll add one more thing for the 2022 finals. When they lost that first game, I was doing the loser thing of like, well, does basketball really matter? You know, like I'm living in a beautiful area. Like, I mean, just like all these other bullshit reverse justifications. And then the second they were back in the series, I was like, nothing means more. This is like the most important thing in my life. I'm all the way back in. It's
Jordan Poole hit that half court shot. I think it was game two. Was it halftime or at the end of the third quarter? Fully back in, fully arrogant again. And you're just, our dynasty restarts.
And we have a new Steph Curry. You know, Jordan's already stepping right in.
Yeah.
All right. Give me kind of a precipice question here. So I want you to rank these sporting events for me in order of most important to least important to you.
Okay.
NBA Finals, Super Bowl, WrestleMania, World Series. And assume your teams are not playing in them. So this is just the idea of the event itself.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd probably go, and this is moved up the power rankings in the last couple of years, WrestleMania, because one, there are so many different storylines that are within that. It's a two-night event also. And there's a lot of different pieces that you can attach to. So even if, you know, your favorite wrestler or my favorite wrestler isn't in the main event, isn't vying for the world title, there are so many other people who I enjoy their work and who are like my guys or my girls who are on the card and you're looking forward to.
Sure.
Right. This past year, Bailey from San Jose, California, won the women's world title, and it was I was there in Philadelphia, freezing my ass off at the end of April, beginning of April, and It was phenomenal. So that's now one. Yep. Especially I've been to WrestleMania 2 years in a row in person. It's just something else, man. Like it's you try to, you know, as I'm covering these, you know, WWE and wrestling as a whole on our pods, it should try to be a little bit more professional and more of a journalist, quote unquote, and try to remove yourself from it. I'm sorry. When you're there, it's freaking incredible. So that's number one. Number two.
Hold on. Before you go to number two, just credit where it's due. Incredible use of air quotes there. People overuse them, but no, you nailed it. That was exactly right.
A good visual bit for an audio medium.
We're so, taping it. We got a YouTube channel.
You saw it. That's all I care about. Yeah. It'll be on YouTube. Yeah. Number two is tough, but I'm probably still going to go with the NBA Finals. It's, you know, Bob Costas was just on the press box over with us at the Ringer. Brian Curtis does an incredible job with that show, but Bob Costas was on. And the second I heard his voice, mm-hmm. I just got transported back to the NBA on NBC. All those finals montages, those voiceovers that he did, and those studio shows that he hosted, right? Where they're just so ingrained in my brain, and were just such incredible memories of just watching Jordan, you know, watching Hakeem, watching Shaq, and you know they've kind of scaled that down a little bit now with, you know, the how dramatic it is with the NBA, but it's still, and also basketball is just my favorite sport, right? So it's got to be right there. And then the Super Bowl is got to be next. It's such a spectacle. It's literally a holiday, right? You know, no matter how much you are into football, and it's really a great litmus test for just how invested people are to eat a lot of food and drink a lot of drinks, because people are hitting us up who don't really care about sports and they just want to have a Super Bowl party. You know,
it's accurate.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, the halftime show has a lot to do with that. The gambling aspect has a lot to do with that, but it's also, it feels like a very combat sports thing. It feels like a very WWE thing where it's one game, one match, whatever. And I did air quotes again. I didn't mean to. For everything. And I just love that aspect. Obviously, I'm not going to refer to the last Super Bowl because I am still recovering from that. And I haven't to this day worn a piece of 49ers gear in what is now approaching 5 months because it hurt my soul. But every other Super Bowl isn't great. And the World Series, don't get me wrong, I love baseball. That was the first sport I learned to play properly, you know, Little League and everything else. It's just, again, when especially when the Giants aren't in it, it's hard to fully invest the way that I can with the other three. And it's like, you know, the Rangers, I guess there was something to tie into last year with Bruce Bochy, but also I don't know if I gave that much of a shit that he was able to win a World Series without the Giants. Like, oh great, it's like, you know, watching an ex be successful, like you're kind of happy for him, but at the same time it doesn't really affect you all that much. So that's where I'm at. That's a great question.
I got a bunch of follow-ups for you, but I figure I'd at least some finals discussion up front here before I lose only basketball fans, right? So one finals thing and back to a follow-up. When you look at this series, right, mm-hmm. look at everyone involved, can be either organization, player, anyone you want, who has the most to gain over these next couple of weeks?
I think it's Jason Tatum.
And
because
why?
I think, so again, Jason Tatum also only 25. By the way, which is insane. He's a year older than Luka. I don't know when their birthdays are, but to see that. And I remember when Jason Tatum was the new guy on the block, right? The shiny new toy that everyone was like, oh, he's going to be face of the league someday. And somewhere over the course, I guess it's him getting so close a couple of times and not really getting over that hump and winning the championship. But I feel like everyone's really soured on Jason Tatum, who is, he's never in these MVP discussions. He's never in these top five, you know, top seven player in the league conversations. And maybe he is, but in the ones that I'm in, he's constantly left out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he has the most to gain because I feel like for as young as he is and as good as he is, he's taken probably the most shit on the Celtics. This counts Jaylen Brown, who has also taken a good amount of shit, right? For being the highest paid player in NBA history, people questioning if he has a left hand. But I feel like the shine on Jaylen Brown has increased a little bit, at least over the past couple of weeks, especially obviously, you know, winning whatever that MVP award is called for the Eastern Conference Finals. But I feel like if the Celtics win, Jason Tatum becomes more than the guy on the Ruffles bag.
Hell yes.
Because right now that is his shining achievement.
I think you're 1,000%. I don't know if I've ever seen a player whose casual excellence is resented more than Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
You know, he puts up a 29, 12, and 5, and people's responses are, well, did you see him defer towards the end? You know,
right.
What about that step back that he probably shouldn't have taken? He's not viewed in the way that his stats probably dictate the way he should be viewed. I think you're right. I'm gonna give you a couple other answers just in case, right?
Sure.
Joe Mazzulla, I think that if he, you know, if he wins this, he goes from second row Joe, you know, which was one of like the best nicknames I've heard for
any
coach for a while, to a title winning coach, and his future is now solidified. They're not going to do anything with him. You know, he'll be totally fine. And I'll throw Kyrie in this. If they win a title, then his new status of like, no, great teammate, and he really does care about basketball, the new version of Kyrie will also be solidified. So I think it's between those three. I think it is Tatum, but those other guys, you know, there's some stuff here for them.
I like the Joe Maz selection because, again, you know, there's a lot of questioning on his decision-making, right? Just constantly. No matter, they're in the NBA Finals. They had obviously an unceremonious elimination last year where the questions were they were deserved, but the narrative around him now is that, you know, he loves the town. You know, the movie The Town, which,
oh yeah, you mean the movie he watches every single day,
day to get him really hyped for life. Like, are you you're kind of rich already? I don't know if you need to be watching a movie about bankrupts, but. That's a great call. I, you know, he'll be looked at in a very different light if the Celtics are able to pull this off. The Kyrie thing, you're absolutely right with everything that you said. I feel like that's already happened though.
Yeah, I kind of feel it.
Because again, the Mavericks were a 5 seed. They did not make the playoffs last year, right? Yep. They were an 11th seed. And that is, I feel like that glow up, if you will, from going from the 11th seed, being part of that team, to where they are now, that all those compliments and all the admiration that he's acquired over the last, or what you described there, he's achieved over the last couple of weeks. Like, that's the narrative now around Kyrie Irving. Nothing else, right? And how much he's grown. Everything else, it's gotten there without even winning a championship with this group. And I mean, shout out to him, right? Like, he's also, the thing with him is, NBA players love watching this dude play.
Mm-hmm.
We love watching, I'm sure, you know, as basketball nerds and basketball heads, aesthetically, this dude, there's not many people I would rather watch than him. NBA players also love watching this guy play.
I'm stealing this take from a show you produce, but I've heard Austin say multiple times that your favorite player's favorite player is Kyrie Irving. Just like him to watch play. And I'll also back what you just said. If I went to Erica, my wife right now, or let me back that up. If I last year gave Erica the name Kyrie Irving, she'd say flat earth guy. You know, isn't that the guy who got suspended? I mean, like, the things that she would throw back at me would have been off the floor. If I went to her right now, what she would probably give me is, aren't they, you know, best backcourt or something? You know, like, isn't that the thing that people are talking about that he said, which upsets me? We're not even going to fucking talk about that. I'm not even going to throw those words into this microphone. I refuse to, but it underlines what you're saying. Even without the title, Kyrie has already kind of changed the lexicon around who he is. I'm not going to jump down this rabbit hole, but I can tell you, as a Jewish American, it frustrates the hell out of me. But we don't have to go into any of his old takes. All right. Follow up. I wanted to ask you before, and this goes into which sport and event you care the most about, but it's more of a neurotic question. All right. So I think that everybody gets annoyed if you really care about something and you're with somebody who doesn't. A stupid example. I went to a World Series game with a person who was lucky enough to get a ticket but didn't care about baseball. They spent the entire time telling me I don't care about baseball while being at a World Series game. It frustrated me. And it's ridiculous. You know,
jeez,
like,
come on.
Yeah, you got, I mean, it's ridiculous. But everybody can do that. All right. My question to you is, does it annoy you when someone else really cares about something and you don't? And I'll give you an example. I was with a friend who watched a rugby championship game and he was all the way in, like screaming in a way that like I've never seen. It shouldn't have infected me, Ben. I shouldn't have cared at all. It really annoyed me. Like it's been months. I'm still annoyed by it.
So no, but I have gotten good at, okay. So the example that I use is, so my wife used to really, really be into The Bachelor and The Bachelorette universe. And there'd be nice. She, you know, she'd take over the TV and I would just sit there. I would just go on my phone and I'd take the occasional glance up. I didn't care what was happening. And it didn't necessarily annoy me, but it was just more, it was actually eye-opening, if you will, because I got to be on the other side of what she experiences probably when I'm watching basketball, when I'm watching wrestling, when I'm playing video games. So it was actually, whenever that happens, whenever I'm engaging with someone who is really into something that I'm not, it actually, and maybe this is just now being me in my old age, but it's just, I flipped it where I see there's, you know, what if we flip, you know, the situation here and we were watching, I was like, hey, we're gonna watch two nights of WrestleMania. That's 8 hours of programming. How would they feel? So I've become less annoyed with it because there was a period of time where, you know, when The Bachelor was on or Keeping Up with the Kardashians, I'm automatically trying to tear every single part of this programming down. This isn't real. This is, well, you know, well, the minute they leave this island, they're breaking up. You know,
100% just, right. That's me. That's me too.
Yeah, but I think I've come around where it's a little bit of a middle ground where I figure, you know what, there are reasons why this is on television. You're just watching the advertisers, and this is getting too much in the weeds. No, where I'm like,
you're not wrong.
Whoa, Chili's is advertising here. That's a big restaurant.
Your ability to allow her to like without getting annoyed is better than me, and I'm impressed. Although I will say, and you already made the reference, but there's a lot of similarities in my mind between wrestling and The Bachelor, and I think the producers have more to do with the outcome on both than
absolutely
than The Bachelor would like to admit. But back to basketball. All right, so you gave me who had the most to gain. Give me the other side. Who has the most to lose during these finals?
The most to lose. Ooh. Is it? I feel like no. So I think it's the same answer as my who has the most. It's Jason Tatum.
So too,
because Bill presented this question the other day, or he's presented this question a couple times now. Where it's what happens if the Mavericks win? Which as a you know, a diehard fan of another team, I can really respect starting to process what it would be like if your team loses, because I was never able to do that. When the Warriors were at their peak, it was just no. We're going to win the series.
Of course,
you go to dark places periodically. In the grand scheme of things, you assume the best. And when he put that out there, because I you know, if we're doing a prediction thing later, this might tease that or reveal it. But if the Celtics lose, we talked about it earlier. Where again, Jason Tatum's pseudo fall from grace, where he's not everyone's favorite player anymore, or he's not really looked at like he was his rookie season when he dunked all over LeBron and you thought the Celtics were right on the cusp of facing the Warriors in the finals. If the Celtics lose, this is just going to be more ammunition for all the anti-Tatum movement, right? Because the anti-Jaylen Brown movement has been there for a minute, right? Even dating back to last year, the 22 finals, him getting his new contract, right? So that's all been out there. The Tatum stuff has honestly been more silent, which is why I feel like he has the most to gain at the same time. But if they lose, if the Celtics lose, the amount of shit that we will be piled onto Jason Tatum, as you know, even though he's not the highest paid player on that team, as the most high profile guy, it might border on toxic.
Absolutely. I've got a person in my life who's had Boston season ticket holder or has been a Boston season ticket holder for decades.
Yeah.
And on more than one occasion, he has told me that Boston fans' relationship with Tatum is thin at best, that people are ready to turn on him, and that they don't believe that they can win a title with Tatum as his main cog. You know, no, it's a weird fucking thing. But if they don't win this year, I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see like a pushback. And I think there's going to be, I don't know if they'll trade Tatum, but I do think that they're going to have to change the way that that team is currently constructed. And I don't know if he'll ever be viewed as like, all right, he can be the centerpiece. I think that that is true.
Do you think, so obviously with the Warriors, we went from 2014, you know, where they lose, to the Clippers, right? And it's just like, is this really it? And then they win the title. So we went, the Warriors kind of go from 0 to 100 a little bit, right? Not exactly, but do you think that this Tatum pattern, or anyway, this relationship he has with the Celtics fans, does that happen with Steph if the Warriors kind of had a slower ascent to where they got to? Because again, the 14 to 15 thing, when you look back at it, was very sudden. Obviously, there's a coaching change and everything else, but do you think that that's possible that that happens where Warriors fans turn on Steph the way that Celtics fans are ready to turn on Tatum?
So I think the short answer is no. Long answer. All right. If they went through that same runway that Tatum does, because it wasn't just that they went from 0 to 100. It's for Tatum, they have had chance after chance. They've had too much success. It's against him. They make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, Finals, and they haven't succeeded. If I keep getting to the precipice and my player can't get me over, you know, there's going to be a frustration there that's hitting me really deeply. I think the thing that's different for Warriors fans and Boston fans is that Boston, they've got the most titles ever, right? Or like the second most titles.
If they win this thing. Yeah.
There you go. That fan base is entitled to consistent success. And when they get there and don't get it, there's a petulant response, you know, for Warrior fans, although we're kind of becoming that. Go back to 2015, we didn't have any level of success like that, you know? And so like, we would have just been happy. Just get us to the finals. You know, there's not a fallback. And I'll also double down because I think it's a dynamite answer. You're saying that, you know, the people who have the most to gain also have the most to lose. Same for Joe Mazz. They get to this finals with the path they just took, with everybody getting hurt, and they don't win. You've got a real problem in Boston and him. You know, I think heads will absolutely roll.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store, or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week. Now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
What player will Boston fan hate the most on Dallas, and then vice versa? What player will Dallas fan hate the most on Boston? And I'm answering this, or asking it rather, for a couple of different reasons, Ben. I need your take. Absolutely. Yeah. And then two, I have to change mine. I recorded another pod where I gave a couple of players, and I thought about it now. I was off. So why don't you go first? Start either direction.
The player that I think Celtics fans will hate most, I don't think this is, well, okay. I think it's going to be Luka, right? On the surface, it should be Kyrie, because of the history, stepped on Lucky's head. You know, is Lucky okay? Has he recovered? We don't know. But I think after a game of actual hoop and Kyrie's just doing his thing, and the second Luka starts yapping to the refs and starts complaining or starts yapping at the crowd, which he will do if he's feeling himself, it's going to turn quickly. That Celtics crowd will turn quickly onto Luka, and they will forget about Kyrie. They might even cheer Kyrie at that point.
I think you're right on that. Here, follow up on that. Who is more petulant, Luka or Jordan Poole?
Whoa. I feel like I got to go Luka just because he's a little bit more to back up. He can back it up a little bit more. Jordan Poole during the 22 run had a lot. He could back it up. I think Luka has just kind of surpassed him in that light.
I think they both lead the league in looks to the ref that says, "How could you allow this to happen to me?" You know, it's just like, and it's such a dislikable look. I wish neither did it. Here's how I'm changing my answer. So the first one I gave was Maxi Kleber. I think they will ultimately hate Maxi, but here's my new answer. Mark Cuban. I forgot there was a shot of Mark Cuban hugging Kyrie when they won the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
I forgot how annoyed I was at Happy Cuban. You know, I've only seen him in like Shark Tank recently and all these other things. And I did not lose. I'm not a Minnesota fan. You know, I shouldn't have cared at all. And I found myself screaming at the TV. Didn't he sell the team? Like, why the hell is he
still
the
face of it for some reason?
Yeah. I don't understand that. Where's the other owner? If I spent whatever billions of dollars to like be now associated with this team, you know who I would not want down there? Mark Cuban, get the fuck out of here. Like, this is my team now. I don't need your face anywhere near it.
Well, you saw that trophy ceremony, right? And they gave the trophy to the new, I don't know, whoever owns the most percentage points in the Mavericks. I think that guy was generated by AI. I don't know if he was a real human, because the way that he was talking seemed very patterned and very programmed out. So maybe it was fine that they cut to Cuban. Not to completely yuck on your yum, but you know, that was my counter to that.
That's fair. Maybe
that guy was, he freaked me out, man.
The network execs like met with them beforehand, and they're like, "Ooh," gave Mark a quick call, like, "Would you mind maybe showing up?
Get down there, give Kyrie a hug, please,
as much as you can, and just look directly into the camera, please save us,
ham it up, yeah,
give me the other side." All right, so Dallas fan, who are they gonna hate?
So if Kristaps comes back, I think it's him. I could, because obviously, you know, this is the reverse Kyrie, if you will. He had the history there. It didn't work out, you know, and, you know, he's been playing it down. So has Luka a little bit. You know, their partnership just didn't work. And that's the very mature thing to do. But if you're a Mavericks fan, I still remember when Porzingis got traded there. A lot of high hopes. Yeah. A lot.
If exactly what they need.
Correctly, yeah. It was a lot higher hopes from when they traded for Kyrie. Because when they traded for Kyrie, I remember everyone was just kind of weirded out.
Yeah. Like, it was like a placeholder. He's going to LA.
How's this going to work? You know, two ball handlers. Yeah, you're right. He's going to LA. Yeah. The Porzingis thing just felt more like it fit. It was, you know, Luka's got his European partner in crime. Yeah. You know, this is it. So I feel like it's going to be KP. Also, to rattle him, he hasn't played basketball in like a month and a half. So he's coming back, and, you know, we'll see how he looks tonight in game one and game two. But by game three, they might be ready, man. Seeing an ex on the floor with another team that's coming to your house, it might be it.
Does the Mavericks horse have a name? You know, like, so like Lucky the Leprechaun, is there a name for the mascot?
That's a great question.
While you're looking it up, here's my idea for Porzingis, in case he's in fact listening. The second you go into Dallas, find that mascot and step on its face as hard as you can. Just like, you know, like just lean into the Kyrie asshole.
Yeah.
Like, flip him off, step on, you know, whatever the horse's name is.
His name is Champ.
Yeah, there you go. Go right after Champ's face. He must be a hunter, you know, like take a shot at Champ. Here's my changed answer, Ben. So the first person I gave was Peyton Pritchard. And I do think that they will ultimately hate Peyton Pritchard. But my new answer is Derek White. The combination of his skill set and his forehead, just because I remember it like really bothering me when we were playing them, I think he will elicit some real nasty hatred. And this is Bram, not Ben. Ben has nothing to do with associated with this take in any way. I have spent most of the year assuming that Derek White got his haircut, because before that, people are like, oh, like, it looks weird, man. Your forehead's hella big. Maybe you should cut it. I can't imagine how angry he was when he cut the hair and his forehead still looked like gigantically large. Like I would have like, no one told me, you know, like I thought this was going to solve the problem. I still look ridiculous, but I've had a chance to fix my answers now. I appreciate you. Here's our next one.
Felt cathartic for you. I like it.
It did. No, I feel like it was like a therapy session.
Yeah.
Friendly, flagrant, or fight. Here's what I mean. Look at the series. All right.
Yeah.
Will it just go through? They just play competitive. It's the finals, but they just go through. Will there be a flagrant foul at some point? If so, from who on who? Or will it escalate to the portion of a fight, in which case, who goes after?
Wow, that's a great question. I feel like someone's going to commit a flagrant on Derek Lively from the Celtics.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Because, again, the amount of importance that Derek Lively has to this Mavericks team is a little shocking, right? Because I'm old enough to remember when he was drafted last year and people were wondering, what?
Who is he?
Yeah. Derek Lively to the Mavericks, right? And I remember reading mock drafts where, you know, if the situations were, if Derek Lively falls to the Warriors and, you know, it could be X, Y, and Z, and you're like, interesting. And they draft him at 12 or 11 or 12. And he's become so important to what the Mavericks do, right? And obviously Gafford's part of that. But I feel like Al Horford, Porzingis, Tillman, whatever conglomerate of big men that the Celtics run out there are going to send a message to this young dude and just say, you're not going to be out here just catching lobs in the NBA Finals in year one, right? You're not old enough to drink. But you are old enough to take this massive shoulder to your chest. And he's going to catch a flagrant. I think it's going to be him. And, you know, will that shake him? Will it not? I don't, you know, maybe, you know, he'll be fine. I think that's where it's going to go. And it would make sense.
I love this answer. I think it was the OKC series. May have been Minnesota, but I think it was the OKC series. And there's some, I don't remember who he got into it with, but Derek Lively got into it with somebody. And they show the replay, and the replay catches him making eye contact with that person and saying, I don't give a fuck. Like, that's how he says it, as demonstrably as he possibly could. That person, if he brings that same level of, like, over-the-top F you, yes, something's going to happen to him, and the Boston crowd will love it, you know, like, off they'll go. I also think we're looking at flagrant. I think it's a flagrant and then no fight, but that thing where people touch shoulders and then walk around in a circle pretending like they want to fight. I think that'll happen at some point. I'll give a different name just for variety's sake. I think that Daniel Gafford is involved in something. He is so active. Same idea as Lively. His skill set is outperforming his reputation, for lack of a better way to put it. He also is like that kind of antagonizing player, and I can see it leading to something, but no punches, no suspensions, nothing like that.
Yeah, I think it'll be fairly cordial. I mean, on the Gafford point, I had this dude on my fantasy team all year, and he was a nice little, when he was with the Wizards, nice little guy to grab a couple rebounds, block some shots, but obviously they're losing damn near every game. And to watch that growth to where he is now, where he's just a key cog in this Dallas Mavericks team, and their transformation into, you know, a very defensively competent, if not defensively good team, has been wild to watch. And maybe I'm just, outside of a Wizards fan or a Mavericks fan, I've just been a little bit closer to it. But again, I used to just look at this dude's stats and assume they lost. And usually 9 times out of 10, I was correct. I'd be like, oh, he got me 3 blocks. Damn, they lost by 35. That's crazy. And you just move on. And now here he is. That trade. I remember that when that trade happened. And you're just, as someone who like tracked his, you know, what he was able to provide on a night to night basis, if you had told me that this is where we'd end up after that trade, there's zero chance I would have believed you. And 1,000% chance I would have made fun of you.
Absolutely. Same thing with PJ Washington, Ben.
Same with PJ Washington.
I thought PJ is one of this year, this Warriors season has been defined by random people beating the hell out of us. You know, the Josh Okogies of the world putting up 45 out of nowhere. And PJ did that to us. And I remember thinking like, oh, it's part of the ongoing, like, not all-stars killing us. I was off. PJ apparently is an all-star on this Dallas team and is playing phenomenally well. But I'm getting us dangerously close to the start of this game. So I'm going to push us forward to a whole new segment here. All right. I'm calling this one Betting the House. So you have to bet something significant to you on each one of these things, mortgage payment, whatever it is, whatever matters to you. All right. First one, over under 6.5 is our number. Here's the question. How many games does this series go?
Oh, okay. So I'm going under. Do I have to pick what I'm betting?
We will. We'll get there. I promise. Okay. Yeah. All right. Under.
I'm going under. Yeah.
I'll take the over. Fuck you, Ben. It's going
okay.
seven.
All right. It is.
New number, 0.5. Over under. How many times will Kyrie Irving do something that can be interpreted as an F you to Boston fans?
Over. Hard over.
You'd like something as demonstrative as another bird, you know, is he flipping the finger again? He's not going to stomp on Lucky, you know? So
well,
like,
I think it could be, he's, you know, when your shoes get a little wet and you're trying to just rub it into the surface there just to like dry it out. And all of a sudden he's, you know, he's doing it for a while. Lucky just happens to be there.
He's so incredible.
And he pulls his hands back like, oh no, it's going to be but everyone's going to cut out his hands being up.
That is such an incredible, if that happens, it'll be my favorite part of the finals. Question at all. All right. New number, 3,987. All right. It's a big one. 3,987 over under. How many times will Luka complain to the refs per game?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'll go a slight under. I think it's an even 3,900.
I take the under on both of those last two. Another over under, 0.5. Games missed by Porzingis.
Over. Yeah. I think he's going to play tonight. That seems to be where it's headed. But it doesn't. For someone who's missed damn near 6 weeks of basketball, whatever it's been, they don't seem as confident as they should be that he's going to play.
Well, and if he's known for one thing, it's missing games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of been the thing that's defined him. So, if it happens again, it's like asking if Steph's going to hit a three. Like, Porzingis is probably going to miss a game. Like, that seems to be
one game? Absolutely. Especially if they're up 3-1 and he dings his knee. Yeah, maybe you hold him out for game five.
That's right. And they've won without him. So, I mean, I can see them doing that. That's exactly right. All right. The more serious one. Who wins and who's the finals MVP? To give you some numbers to base your guess on. This is from Vegas, maybe 10 minutes ago. Boston on the series price is -220. So for those of us who are not degenerate gamblers, that means I have to bet $220 to win 100. And the Mavericks are +180. So basically Boston's a 2-1 favorite. And then on the finals MVP, Tatum is your odds on favorite, -115. Then it goes Luka about 2-1. Jaylen Brown about 6.5-1. And then Kyrie Irving, 22-1. Ben, what do you take?
I'm taking the Celtics. So the line that I had was -205, but I think this is a couple days old now that I'm looking at it. Yeah, it is. So it's a few days old. So the fact that it's moved to -220, I was already picking the Celtics before this, and I have not wavered from that. I think I've been almost – I feel so confident that Celtics are going to win. I feel like I could move to Boston tomorrow and acquire an accent. That's where I'm at. So I think that the Celtics are going to win the series. And I think for MVP, if the Celtics win, it's going to be because of Tatum.
Yeah, you're in.
And Jaylen Brown already got his, you know, his trophy and his validation, if you will, in the Eastern Conference Finals. So it's got to go to Tatum. And, you know, I think the NBA is looking for their next face of the league that's an American dude, and that could be they've been trying to make it Jason Tatum for years, and they will make it so if the Celtics win the series.
Well, and Tatum told Malik Andrews during the All-Star break, I am the face of the league, and this is his shot. I mean, there's no if, ands, or buts. This is his shot at that, and I don't know if you get two of them.
If it was him and Ant right now, he would be sweating, I think, much more.
Yeah,
I think the Timberwolves present more problems to the Celtics just as a whole, but Ant was that became the conversation right during their ascent to the Western Conference Finals. It was Tatum wasn't even in the conversation. It was Ant's the next guy. This is great. He's so charismatic, and they're not incorrect. Ant, I think, is the future, but the way that everyone skipped over Tatum, again, we talked about this earlier, has been wild to see. Yeah.
He's the exact opposite Ant is. We talked before that people like to dismiss Tatum. On the other side of that, Ant has 1,000% acceptance rating. I've never met one person who's like, you know who I don't like? Ant Edwards. Like, that's just, it's not happened. I've never found anybody like that. I take the same parlay. If we were sponsored by a betting website, I'd tell you this take is sponsored by that, but we are not. Yeah. But if I had to parlay the two, it'd be Boston and Jason Tatum, which leads to our final segment and the one I've been most fired up for. All right. So there's a video that it's past gone viral. I'm a couple of days late to this, but after the Western Conference Finals, Luka's outside of the locker room. It looks like he's hanging out with his dad, kind of this like gray moment. All right. He's got his back to the wall. He's holding a beer. He's enjoying the time the way that you would enjoy it if you've just dominated and, you know, you're moving your career the way you'd like it to move it. And right when he's about to drink this beer, obviously there's cameras there. That's how we're able to watch the video. And Michael Finley, who's a name I haven't said for a while and a guy I haven't seen for a while, apparently is working for the Dallas Mavericks and very smoothly, exceptionally smoothly, goes up and takes the beer out of Luka's hands. We haven't heard from Finley or anybody else, but the assumption's been, look, there's cameras. We don't want you to be seen drinking here, and is what it is. So there's been talk about that interaction. That's not my question. My question to you is, because having watched that go down, have you ever been in a situation where you were drinking when you shouldn't have been? You know, or sometime where somebody came and took the beer out of your hand to give you some time to think and some, you know, some cover here so that I embarrass myself first. Have I done that? Fuck yes, Ben. Way too many times. I'll give you a recent enough example. My wife and I went to this wedding in Yosemite. It was right outside of Yosemite, the spot that you're going to like spend the night at. And you know, it's like pseudo distance wedding. We drove, not flew, but you know, it's a lot of people we know. First day of a 3-day wedding, my wife misses a stair and breaks her foot. And she wants to go home. Yes, dude. Okay. And she wants to go home, and rightfully so. I mean, fuck, we could just drive back. She doesn't want to go through this celebration with a broken foot, but I talk her into it. I was like, no, these are your friends too. We're going to have a great time. And I tell you what, I will spend the entire time doing anything you need to make sure that like you still enjoy this and you know, we get through it together. So she agrees. We stay. Fast forward to the reception, Ben. Not only did I get hammered, I got so goddamn hammered that I forgot that she had a broken foot and asked her to dance. Literally, I was like, oh, like, why aren't you coming out here? And then everyone was hella embarrassed. They like, I was disliked.
Oh, that's
totally justified.
That's fantastic.
It was awful. It was an awful thing. I've a bunch of stories like that. But so, yes, I could have used Michael Finley. I'd like if he could have just come and like, you know, maybe you should be over there. It would have really helped me. Have you had a Michael Finley moment where someone should have maybe come over and helped you through it?
So, well, first of all, on the Michael Finley thing, I think he was pulling that beer for himself. I don't know. He seemed like he just didn't want to go into the locker room, grab his own cold one. He said, oh, did you just open this? You've taken one sip. I'll have this. I don't know. Well, someone has to actually ask Michael Finley about this, because you're right. I've seen a lot of speculation over the last couple of days, and sure, it might be because Luka, don't be caught drinking this, you know, right after. Guess what? They had 6 days off. If Luka had a beer, is one of the best players in
If this is like Derek Jones, then I'm like, yes, Finley wanted the beer. But if it's Luka, he's not going to go take fucking Luka's beer. He's like the next to Champ the horse. He's the most important person in the universe. Like, there's no way he's taking
it. Maybe Michael Finley has so much pull within the Mavericks organization that we need to explore it more.
I like it.
I'm spitballing here.
I like the theory. I mean, who knows? He's like the godfather behind the scenes.
He accepted the Western Conference Finals trophy, or he was on the stage at least. And they're like, hey, Michael Finley's here. We're going to give it to him. I'm like, he's not Mark Cuban or the owner. And then they gave it to the owner. And I was like, oh, this is why they gave it to Michael.
Give it back to Finley. Give it back to Finley. Yeah.
Please hand it back. Put the programming into his back. In terms of times where I've been Michael Finley'd.
Or should have been.
Should have been. The closest I can, or at least the most recent. So I'm going back to, this is now almost 2 years ago, also at a wedding. And I was officiating said wedding. And being the procrastinator that I am, had not quite written out.
No,
what I was going to say
on day of, you didn't have it.
No, this is night before. So sorry, I missed that detail. This is the night before. This is post. This is night before. So you know, we're all in town for, this is one of my best friend's weddings. My wife is also the matron of honor at this wedding. We're very, very close to the bride. She's like one of our best friends in the entire world. And I had not quite written out what I had wanted to say. So that night, it was that the night before was the rehearsal dinner and, you know, everything else. The shenanigans. But it's the shenanigans night before the day of. And I had partaken in a lot of shenanigans from a certain hour to right before, you know, we're still all hanging out. And at some point, my wife goes, did you,
oh my God,
did you write what you're going to say?
This
tomorrow?
Is making me nervous.
Oh, and I go, God. Oh yeah, I should probably do that. And to that credit, I stopped. I put the drink, I either put it down or I finished it, but didn't ask for another. Don't remember quite which one. But went up to the room and wrote the speech before
ceremony. Yeah, yeah.
The ceremony, you know, the officiant speech. Yeah. It turns out that guy who wrote it, that guy who had consumed probably too many old fashions, not a bad officiant. Because I was reading it during the ceremony and like reviewing it, and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. I hope people cry. This is great. I was probably at the perfect point.
You right? didn't if need I, Michael Finley. You did right. not need Michael Finley. Yeah, you're in the exact right place.
Well, to that, if I had maybe one more drink, what I was saying might have been encouraging a divorce. Who knows, right? It might have not have been wedding conducive, is what I'm saying. So shout out to my wife for just saying, hey, it was a very gentle, have you done what you're supposed? You're literally, this cannot happen without you because you are running point. You're on this whole thing. So that was it. It was just a moment where I had a very sobering, very Luka Doncic moment where I said, you know what? The final start, I got a lock in for game one. And that's what I did.
You took me on a roller coaster of emotions with that story then. I was like super worried, and then it landed, it all worked out.
I landed the plane. And yeah, still you married did. To this
nicely
day.
Nicely played. So. I'll give you another quick one. I mean, there's just too many. I don't remember how old I was. Let's say 13. Younger than I needed to be.
Yeah.
And I think it was an Easter celebration. And my cousin and I were walking through the kitchen. It's a party filled with family, and my cousin's points out a glass of half-drunken wine. And it's like, oh, you know, like, do you want to check it out? And yeah. Without thinking about it at all, I was like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Drinking at a family event when you're under it, like, I can tell you right now, bad idea. I grab it, and when I'm about to drink, I screw up somehow the angle and pour the wine all over my dress shirt. And so, so I can't be drinking at all. And now I'm covered in alcohol. So do I wish that Michael Finley had come by and taken that glass out of my hand? Yes, I do, Ben. Yes, I do.
Would have been a good Finley moment. Yeah,
it would. I needed him. I absolutely needed him. Appreciate you, man. Been looking forward to this. Absolutely delivered. I know people need way more Ben Cruz in their life. If I'm right, where do they go?
Well, if they do, and God help you if you do, you can find me at Cruise Control. It's Control the K on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and everything. Check out everything we're doing on the Ringer NBA show. And our Ringer NBA pods, we're going live after every single, on YouTube, I should say, every single finals game during the stretch. So that starts tonight. For those of you who are simultaneously listening to this episode in game one of the NBA finals, check me out on the Ringer Wrestling Show, one of the co-hosts of Ringer Wrestling Worldwide. So if you're a sicko who loves hoops and wrestling like me, please come check us out. But yeah, Bram, this is always a blast. Thanks so much for having me on. And we are going to this Giants game.
Sure.
And we will
sure
document we are, it, and we will do a vlog. How about that? We'll just record every single moment that we are together.
I mean, all you have to do is look back at the like 90 to 100 desperate texts I've sent you. You know I'm fucking in. Let me know. For us, you can find us anywhere where podcasts are played, but you probably already know that since you already listened to the podcast. We're also on social media. Just search out Warriors Huddle. And with that in mind, go Warriors, go champ, and hopefully we'll see you real soon.
Good, good.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.